In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Please read with me the text of today's homily, which is Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. He has forgiven Christ has forgiven the evidence of certain laws and commandments, which always come over our heads, and has completely annulled by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sin of all the powers and enemies against us, he has exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in his final glorious triumphal act. Why an ale today? Because it's Friday, and this is the day for professors to nail students to the wall, or the other way around, that students nail professors to the wall. Why an ale? Why, to help you think of something, specifically, to help you think about the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and about the meaning of that suffering and death for you and for me personally. When you were confronted with this nail upon entering worship today, what were your thoughts? Probably, some of your thoughts were at least centered about what we might think of here at the seminary in the category of law. The nail condemns and accuses you. We might think, as we look at this nail, oh, that refers to like a spike that was used in the crucifixion of Christ. It was because of me that he died. I deserve to be crucified, not Jesus. And verily, this is true, for we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a just person among us. And that's not good news. But this nail spells not only bad news, it symbolizes good news. With such a nail, Jesus died for you. He has forgiven you all your sins. St. Paul says it this way. He has forgiven you all your sins. So the same nail which symbolizes the punishment that you deserve for your sins also symbolizes the very love and forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. He died for you. What does that mean? He died in your place as your substitute. He died where you should have died, the way you should have died. He died for you. If it were not for your sins and mine, he would not have had to die. He died for your benefit in order to obtain for you the forgiveness of God. And as Luther puts it, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Yes, Christ has forgiven you. He has nailed the law over his head on the cross. Maybe a nail is a terribly awkward thing, particularly if you have to carry it around all the time. But so is the cross. Awkward as it was, Jesus carried it for you. And awkward as it is, he calls us to carry our cross for him. And the nail is also an uncomfortable thing. It's particularly uncomfortable when you scratch yourself or you puncture your skin. But then the nails were also uncomfortable in the hands and in the feet of Jesus. Cut by nails, he shed his blood. His blood, not yours, but his. And the nail can be a dangerous thing, particularly if you scratch your skin and it's a rusty nail and it turns into tetanus. The result could be fatal. The nail was dangerous. It was fatal for our Savior. He died for you. Awkward, uncomfortable, dangerous. But the nail for our faith is good because it reminds us of that good day, Good Friday. The bad events turned out to be good. through the cross of Christ, to which he was nailed for you, all the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments, Paul said, indicating that you deserved the torments of a guilty conscience, the wretched horror of death, and the misery of eternal damnation. All of this Christ has completely annulled on the cross. That's good news, because even now he has disarmed all the powers reigning against you and against me. St. Paul says that by his death he defeated our enemies, sin, devil, death, and hell. All of these are scattered, they're empty, they are defeated. Our conscience can no longer condemn us, its power is gone. Death cannot render us dead, its power is gone. Eternal damnation cannot claim us, the devil is defeated. And even though we now may have sorrows and heartaches and sickness, they surely do not have us nailed down. For all of our enemies have their place, and their place will only be temporary. Jesus has disarmed our enemies. They are shattered, empty, defeated. He has replaced ourselves with joy. As you know, in Romans chapter 8, St. Paul lists a number of our enemies: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Pick one. Pick more than one. And each time you pick one, remember the nail, for Christ has defeated that enemy for you. It is finished, Jesus said. That's right, and that's what St. Paul says here about the crucifixion of Jesus. It is his final, glorious, triumphant act. Finished. Tell us the end. And if that's the end, then what's the new beginning? What was the new beginning for him? What's the new beginning for you? He rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He ascended into heaven. He rules at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And you too are raised to a new life in holy baptism. When St. Paul thought about burial, he thought about baptism. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. By baptism, God has laid a claim upon us. We are his children. And with the promise that his covenant of grace is so sure that God can never forget. He makes us in the way of suffering. In this new life, we are here. And so as you hold or carry your nail today, remember God's promise. Can a woman forget her second child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you in the palm of my hand. May the nail remind you that God can never forget.